standing by. I'd like to inform all participants that your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. Today's call is also being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Kate Brogan. Thank you. You may begin.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kate Brogan, and I'm with Public Affairs here at NOAA Fisheries. Today, NOAA Fisheries is sharing with you a national report summarizing data about large whale entanglements confirmed in the U.S. in 2017. To talk more about the report's findings, I'd like to introduce Sarah Wilkin, who's the National Stranding and Emergency Response Coordinator from NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources. Sarah's going to provide a brief summary of the report, and then we're going to open for questions. We also have experts, Ed Lyman from the Hawaiian Islands Humpback National Marine Sanctuary and Christy Long from NOAA Fisheries Office of Protected Resources on the line, and they're available to take your questions as well. If you got our media advisory, you have the names and titles for Sarah, Ed, and Christy. We also have additional experts here with me if needed to answer questions. If you need those names and titles for a quote, please contact me after the call. The media advisory has my contact information, and if you need to reach me, my phone number is 301-427-8030. You can find a copy of the media advisory and the entanglement report, as well as some really great B-roll footage on NOAA.gov. As a reminder, this call is for working media only. If you're not a member of the media, you're welcome to listen, but please do not ask questions. This time is really reserved for reporters. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sarah Wilkin. Sarah, go ahead.
Great. Hi, everyone. As Kate mentioned, I'm the National Marine Mammal Stranding and Emergency Response Coordinator for NOAA Fisheries, and my colleagues and I, the ones on the phone, as many others that are not able to speak today, are excited to share this annual report. This summarizes the data on large whale entanglements from 2017. Before we dive into the numbers, we did want to give just a little background on why this report is important for us. One of NOAA Fisheries' primary mission areas is the recovery and conservation of protected species, and that includes whales and dolphins protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act and some under the Endangered Species Act. So entanglement in fishing gear or marine debris is a very serious conservation and welfare issue. It can kill or seriously injure large whales, which are the focus of this report, and entanglements that involve threatened and endangered species can have significant population level effects as well. So because of these concerns, it's important for NOAA Fisheries and our partners to document and understand as many entanglement incidents as possible. We use these kinds of data to determine if the rates of large whale entanglements are changing and if management measures or other actions are needed to address these issues. We also work with our trained and experienced partners to rescue whales from entanglements whenever possible and whenever safe for the whale and the responders. So collecting the data and learning more about entanglement threats that whales face is critically important to the conservation and recovery of the species and to inform our mitigation measures that we could potentially use to prevent future entanglements. So now I'll walk through the numbers from the report, which looks at large whale entanglements across the United States in 2017, which is the most recent year for which annual data has been compiled and analyzed. So in 2017, 76 large whales were confirmed to be entangled, which is slightly above the annual 10-year average. 70 of these cases involved live entangled whales. Regionally, the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and West Coast saw a slight decrease in the confirmed entanglement cases in 2017 compared to 2016. And the reasons for this are multifactorial, could be attributed to how people are reporting or the environmental conditions. We also wanted to acknowledge the critical role of our partners, who are key players in our work to assist entangled whales. In order to respond to reports of entangled large whales, we work primarily with the expert partners in our National Large Whale Entanglement Response Network. These highly trained individuals operate under a NOAA permit, and they are familiar with whale behavior, have the proper specialized tools and equipment for safe disentanglement operations, and know how to maximize their safety in proximity to whales and also to accomplish the disentanglement effort to completely free the whale whenever possible. In 2017, the National Large Whale Entanglement Response Network was able to perform an on-water response in 50 of the 75 confirmed entanglement cases, and successfully remove entangling gear from 20 whales, which we feel increases these whales' chance of survival. Our network partners are highly skilled, and the only people authorized to respond to entanglements by cutting the whale free. However, we need everyone on the water to watch out for whales and help our network by reporting whales that they come across that are entangled. You can report an entangled whale to your regional whale entanglement hotline. You can find those numbers in the report and on NOAA Fisheries website. For your safety and the whales, the general public should not attempt to intervene in entanglement cases because disentangling whales is an inherently dangerous activity that is best that requires years of training, specialized knowledge and skills, and customized tools and equipment to ensure the safety for the animal and the response team. Authorized network response is also typically more productive than a public intervention at completely removing the entangling gear from whales and helping us collect and document the information about the entanglement that can help us learn about the threat and how to reduce impacts in the future to future whales. Hopefully, that information gives you an overview of the 2017 entanglement data as we're seeing it across the U.S., how we work with our partners to respond to entangled whales, and some insight into why this kind of information is important. And with that, we're happy to take your questions.
Thanks, Sarah. At this time, we're going to open the line for reporter questions. Operator, can you please explain the process for asking a question?
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star followed by one. Please ensure your phone is unmuted and record your name clearly when prompted. Again, that is star followed by one to ask a question. To withdraw your question, press star two. In order to provide everyone the opportunity to ask questions, we ask that you limit your questions to one per caller. If you have further questions, simply reinsert yourself back into the queue, and your additional questions will be answered as time permits. One moment, please, while we wait for questions to come in.
Operator, we'll start with Doyle from USA Today.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Hi. Thanks for doing this. Just a question. When you said there were 77 cases last year of whale entanglements, 76, I see. And how many were of those were did they die? I mean, I think you said there were six that were dead at that time, but how many of the other 70 eventually survived, or do we know that information?
So that's a great question. So on page 5 of the report, we actually have a table of the outcome. So one of the categories there that we have is presumed alive but still entangled. So those are whales that when last seen, they were alive at that point in time. Obviously, we don't know the ultimate outcome of those whales. For the ones where we have attempted a network intervention, we generally believe that the entanglement is life-threatening to the whale. In other words, if no intervention is performed, it will eventually succumb to that injury.
Thank you.
Okay.
Allison Morrow from King 5, we're going to open your line next.
Sorry, did you say with the last caller the question, did you actually answer how many of them, though, were seen still entangled, and then how many were dead? And then my actual question is, do you have a breakdown of what they were entangled in, so fishing gear or plastic marine debris, whatever else it is, any data on that?
Sure. So for the previous question, the outcomes of the confirmed cases, the table on the bottom of page 5, so 21 of the 76 whales were fully or partially disentangled by the network. Four animals were observed to self-release, meaning that they were confirmed entangled, and then they were observed without the entanglement on, without the network actually cutting them free. 45 were last seen alive and entangled and are presumed to still be entangled. Six died after they were first initially confirmed entangled, and that actually probably includes ones that were first seen dead when entangled. And then actually also on page 5, there's a figure with the number and sources of the types of gear that animals are entangled in. So the majority of entanglements are fishing gear, but there are large whales that become entangled in other sources of gear as well, including metal line and debris.
Thanks, Allison. We're going to open up Mary Lander's line from Savannah Morning News.
Okay, thanks. Can you talk about what species of whales you're talking about, and specifically, could you go into some of the details for right whales?
Sure. So in 2017, and this is on page 3 of the report, the most commonly observed confirmed entanglement was with humpback whales. Humpback whales are found on all the coasts of the United States and frequently are quite close to shore and are frequently observed by people. So in and of itself, having a high number of humpbacks confirmed entangled is not surprising. Gray whales were also observed entangled, and then minke whales, blue whales, two North Atlantic right whales were observed entangled, two whales that were confirmed to be entangled but their species could not be determined and so are listed as unidentified, one fin whale and one sei whale. So in this year, we did not have any sperm whales confirmed entangled.
Thanks. We're going to open up KUOW Public Radio next.
Hi, it's Tom Bonsi in Olympia, Seattle, Washington. What is the likelihood at this point, given that this is an ongoing problem on the West Coast and involves some, in some cases, endangered whales, that NOAA would tighten restrictions on crab pot lines or other fishing gear?
I don't think that we are able to speculate on what might be done in the future as far as management options. Christy, I don't know if you want to talk about what we are currently engaged in, have been doing on the West.
Sure. So we've been working with a couple different working groups. So the California Dungeness Crab Fishing Gear Working Group that the state of California has convened. So we're working through that process with various, you know, industry folks and marine mammal experts to come up with options for reducing entanglements of large whales on the West Coast. But right now we're working through that process and, you know, we'll think about additional restrictions in the future if they're warranted.
Would you let the states take the lead on this at this point that are involved with those working groups too?
I don't think we can speculate on that right now. And I would have to defer to some of our colleagues on the West Coast region.
Yeah, and Tom, if you have a follow-up question about that, I'm happy to help direct you to the appropriate person. So if you want to give me an email or a phone call after, certainly feel free to get in touch.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll open the line up for Maine Public Radio. Fred?
Hi, thanks for doing this. I have a question about source of gear that's found. Does NOAA have that information? Is it ever available or findable? In other words, I can see that, and perhaps not surprisingly, there are a lot of entangled whales sighted off of the northwest of Cape Cod, which is a place where they tend to gather. What I'm curious about is the agency's ability to see what the actual geographic gear source was.
Yeah, thanks. I think it is a very good reminder that, you know, these large whales are powerful and mobile, and they can tow gear with them for long, long distances. And so where we observe them entangled for the first time is generally, or not usually at least, the place where they became entangled. And so that's something that we want to keep in mind, particularly when we have maps of places where whales are seen entangled. That doesn't represent where they became entangled. One of the key things that our response teams try to do is fully document the entanglement, and we are attempting, when we do that, to get, if there is any identifiable information out of it, to be able to work backwards and find the source of the gear, or at least identify it to a particular geographic region or a particular fishery. In those cases, we then work with a team of experts to try and conclusively identify it. Many times that can take a long time, and there can be more or less certainty depending upon how identifiable the gear is. So that is definitely a key goal of our entanglement response team through the documentation and identification and attempting to collect whatever gear that we can so that we can eventually identify it and use that information in the management of those fisheries.
is that data available to the public and us somewhere?
That's a good question that we'll have to get back to you.
Yes. Okay.
If you want to follow up with me after, this is Kate, I can work on that with you. All right. Operator, can you remind folks how to ask a question, because I'm seeing only one other reporter in the queue right now.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one.
Thanks. And we'll open it up for the Asbury Park Press. Dan?
How are you doing? Just specifically in the Northeast, could you just say how many entanglements there were, how many responses, and if there were any deaths in that region alone?
So along the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, which we would have as Maine down through Virginia, there were 33 confirmed entanglements last year. And I don't have the number of responses broken out regionally, so we'll have to get back to you with that.
Any deaths?
Thanks. And we'll go to Doyle from USA Today for the next question, operator.
Yeah, just one more question. We're always hearing about whales.
Best to mute them after.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, hearing a lot about whales just being stranded or randomly beached on beaches like in Cape Cod or down in the Carolinas. I just wondered, what are those numbers compared to these? I mean, how much more of an issue is entanglement or less of an issue than just, various whales washing up on the beach from whether it's a shock because of weather changes or something else? I just wondered if you have those statistics.
So I'm not sure. You might be referring to the fact that we actually have three ongoing unusual mortality events for large whales right now along the Atlantic coast. So those were declared for minke whales, humpback whales, and North Atlantic right whales. So we have updated information on our website for the number of whales that are involved in that, those unusual mortality events. There is some overlap in that we get whales that are stranded and entangled. We get whales that are entangled that eventually later at some point strand. And so there is a lot of work that goes on between the entanglement response network and the stranding network to look at all of the animals that we're seeing. In terms of magnitude, we'd have to get numbers for you, but I would say that there are definitely more stranded whales than there are confirmed entangled whales annually.
Thanks, Doyle. We're going to open the line up for the Cape Cod Times. Mary Ann?
Hi there. Thank you. I think you might have already answered one of my questions around, this does not include the Canadian entanglements, because I was thinking in 2017 there were five entanglements of the right whales in Canada, so I'm thinking your data doesn't include that.
Yes, that is correct. So these are only whales that were observed, confirmed to be entangled within the United States.
Thanks, Mary Ann. We're going to open the line for Dave Abel of the Boston Globe.
Hi. I was wondering if you can help put some of these numbers in perspective. Haven't actually looked at the report yet. Is there previous year's data? Is this a rise or a decline? And do you have any data from 2018 yet that you could help to provide a bigger picture?
So to answer the last thing first, no, there's no 2018 data yet. We are still working. It undergoes a fairly rigorous process to confirm that animals are actually entangled and summarize that information. We do hope to have that out in the spring of next year. And then as far as historical information, though, yes, it is summarized. So on page 2, there's a figure showing the overall numbers of confirmed entanglements starting in 2007. So as I mentioned at the beginning, this year we did see a slight decline for three of the regions as far as the number of confirmed entanglements based on the last couple of years. But there's a lot of factors that go into play. It could be truly that fewer whales were entangled. It could also be that more whales were observed in prior years and reported in prior years. And the decrease is not very significant. The numbers go up and down and vary quite a bit over time. But so you can take a look at that, and that is broken out by region, so you can see what the kind of trend, general trend is for the different regions around the U.S. Thanks. Operator, can you share how to ask a question? We're not showing anyone else in the queue right now.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone.
Sarah, do you have anything else that you'd like to share at the moment?
I think the one thing that I would like to make sure that I repeat maybe is just how much we value our partners and how this truly is a team, you know, effort. We also have in the report the locations of our more experienced entanglement responders, so you can see kind of where they're distributed geographically, you know, and we are continuing to work with folks and maintain people and their expertise and their training, and also work with folks who want to become a part of the network. And all of that is really critical for us, both in being able to respond, you know, to the report of the individual animal, to get that very important documentation, and just to help us generally. And then I also want to mention the work that we do with scientists to really try and look at the long-term trends of this. So looking at scar patterns or scar rates of different whale populations. Like I said, we have, you know, a relatively high number of animals that when last seen were alive but are presumed still entangled. And so working with the scientists that study some of those species or some of those populations to really see if there's long-term follow-up on them so that we can confirm what the eventual outcome of that animal was, if it managed to shed the entanglement or if it later wound up dead.
Ed or Christy, would either of you like to share anything as we close out the call?
It's Ed. I'm just going to support a lot of what just Sarah said, and that is, you know, we used to call this disentanglement response, and we've, for like a decade now, we've been calling it entanglement response just to denote just the broad scope of the goals here. It's not just about trying to free every whale. It's about trying to gain that information, the safety behind it, and all that. That is so critical, and it's just so many aspects of the forensics and the science that goes into this. It's a very broad scope mission now for the last decade or so, and I just wanted to emphasize that.
Thanks, Ed. Both really important messages. Operator, I am not seeing anyone else in the queue. So I think that this is a good point to close the call. Reporters that have requested follow-up or asked questions that require follow-up, I'm going to ask that you contact me and we can work on getting you additional information. If you got our media advisory, the names and titles of our experts are on there, as well as my contact information, my phone number, and my email. But if you need me to repeat it, my phone number is 301-427-8030. Again, 301-427-8030. And my email is Katherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, dot Brogan, B-R-O-G-A-N, at NOAA, N-O-A-A, dot gov. So that's how you can reach me with follow-ups. And I just want to thank everyone for joining us on the call today. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, this does conclude our conference. At this time, you may now disconnect.